All the Things with Lane and Lainey. Husband and wife, parents, living in the Midwest. Every show is different and almost no topic is off limits. Please help us out. Subscribe to the podcast. Download the show, not just listen. Rate us. That 5-star rating would be amazing. Give us a review and tell a friend. Help us spread the word. All the Things. Here's Lane and Lainey.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to All the Things with Lane and Lainey, episode 419 of season 3. If you're just tuning
419.
In, you've missed quite a few episodes. They've all been about a minute long, but we're just trying to get the number of episodes cranked out. Dig back further into the archives if you want to find all 412 episodes.
You just said 419.
As I said, 413.
So basically, you're full of shit.
I'm lying.
Yeah.
So today's topic is going to be, what do you fear? And it's just going to be the two of us talking back and forth because we can't get anybody else to participate. So it's going to be interesting.
So, I mean, are we talking like...
Not topical fears like, oh, I'm scared of spiders.
Yeah.
That shit. I'm talking like, what is your soul afraid of? What are you constantly thinking of? What's the anxiety that's in your bones? There's always something going on in the back of your head, or
not me.
What's that one thing that just, I hope that never happens, or that type of stuff.
I don't have that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, then this should be a short podcast.
Welcome, everybody.
Turn your mic off and we can just talk to me.
Am I on? Because I don't feel like I hear myself.
Do you? Yeah, you're on.
Okay.
Yep, you're moving in the soundbar, so you're good to go.
Okay. Well, so what's something you're afraid of?
That I or we don't have money for kids to partake in a sport or a hobby that they enjoy, or an experience that could shape them.
Yeah.
Like if we get to a point where the kids are extremely excited about dance or whatever it might be. Tennis or whatever we got them in, and it's, well, the next stage is going to be $1,200 if they want to play on. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll make it work, figure it out, but it's just one of my fears is that, man, I can't give my son or daughter the means to move on or move up in their sport because it comes down to money.
Well, I would say that's probably your number one fear. Lack of money.
Yeah, I'd say there's a lot of ties between me and money.
But, I mean, going back to the manifesting thing, if you always worry about not having enough, you're never going to have enough.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that we're talking about manifesting and being in the positive mindset. We're talking about fears, those little things that are in the back of your head. And it's like, no, I can talk positive. But until it actually comes about that, oh, boom, there's enough money in my bank account for me to move the kids into the sport and continue to put the kids into the sport or hobby or, you know, ship them off to Dayton every 2 weeks to go to some Lego building camp or something like that, you know, whatever it might be. Hey, guess what? That costs money.
Yeah.
So that's just one of my fears. That's just something that I wouldn't be able to provide. In that aspect.
Yeah, I mean, I also have fears around money, you know, just not having enough for our necessities, but not having enough to be able to do the things that make your life good, make your life enjoyable. Go on that trip, you know, go out with friends without having to go, oh gosh, I'm gonna have to really hustle next week or
just say we can't.
Right, or just come right out and say we can't, because we've had to do that before.
Yeah, embarrassingly say, well, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just dinner.
Yeah.
Well, we know, but this week we just can't do it. We got something going on tomorrow that's already taking money out of the budget we figured we've got to spend for this weekend. It's like it'd just be nice to have, and I'm sure everybody would love this, but just have a pool of money that you can just kind of dip your hand into and pull out.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we can go out Friday night. Yeah, we can go out Saturday night. I'll get takeout on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, sure, we'll do that too.
I mean, that's what we're working towards is, like you said, not trading our time for money, you know. And, I mean, I think people who work full-time jobs, yes, they have that security of that paycheck coming in every day, but or every week, but they know they have to work X amount of hours to get that money.
Yeah, say they've got to trade.
Right. And we're trying to get away from that. I mean, we're still in the rat race, but we're moving out of it,
slowly,
so to speak.
But, slowly, surely.
But yeah, I mean, money's definitely, I would say, top fear. Mine, major one, is just failure. And I know that's pretty broad.
It is broad.
Probably a failure in my business. That it's not going to work out, that I'm going to have to go back and get another job, that I'm going to have to work for somebody again and hate my life and, you know, all of that.
Well, you say you would hate your life knowing that you struck out and you failed, and now you have to go back to the rat race that you just spoke so ill about mm-hmm. for so long. I mean, I share that with you 100%. I mean, that's the reason why I'm taking the weird and shitty jobs that I'm taking now, is because I don't want, I mean, there's that option on the table. I can go work at McDonald's, or I can go work at Amazon, or I can go mm-hmm. back to a gym and try to be a personal trainer again. I mean, there's ways to use my degree yet. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, you go to a regular gym, they're just going to say, are you certified? You say yes, nod your head like with an open mouth, and they're going to be like, you're hired.
Right.
So I'm not worried about that, but it's just I've grown out of that
mm-hmm.
and to step back into that realm, or to step back into, you know, and we're not trashing on anybody who works at any of these places, but you know, if you work at a McDonald's, or you work at Taco Bell, or you work at a Lowe's, or you work wherever you might work, we have tried to step away from that arena for so long that stepping back into that would just feels so degrading, so mm-hmm. it would do so much to our souls that I think that's something that we fear.
Right. I mean, it would be, I feel like I'd be going back with my tail between my legs, like just embarrassed and just feel so shitty about myself.
Yeah.
I mean, on top of failure in my business, you know, I worry that I'm not going to be able to help provide for the family, that sort of thing, but I'm also, even in what I'm doing now, no, I worry about failure as a mom. I mean, I feel like I'm constantly working, which, you know, seems counterintuitive when we say we don't want to work for somebody, and now we work all the time. I mean, we do still have that flexibility, but I feel like it's not enough. I feel like, you know, I'm not that mom that likes to do arts and crafts with my kids and bake them cookies every week and, you know, do all the things that picture perfect moms seem to do. So I worry that they're going to think I failed them.
Yeah.
I worry that I have a fear that we're going to screw them up somehow.
Yeah, it's like a fear of neglect. Like you figure, you're fearing that just because you don't do all these things, I mean, you do run around a lot for the business, and personally, I feel like you should shut it down at some point at night, and you still haven't learned all that yet.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to please everybody. But I get what you're saying as far as them being like, well, mommy's never around.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's true. But yeah, you just got to figure out some boundaries.
Yeah. But I mean, I just wouldn't want them to be adults thinking, oh, you were never there for me. You were never around.
Right.
So I mean, that's a real fear, worry for me, because I'm not 100% only mom. You know, I can't be just 100%
yeah.
only mom. I need something else in my life.
Yeah, no, I don't think that. I think there's a lot of people out there that basically just say, okay, here's the rule book, here's the playbook. I go through high school, or I go through grade school, and I go through high school, and then I find my person, then I marry them, then I get married, and then I have children, and then I raise my children, and once the children are raised, then we just sit on our front porch and wait for the grandchildren to show up, and then once the grandchildren show up,
yeah.
then I play with the grandchildren, and then I die. I guess I just wait to die. It's like, no, that's not the playbook to life. The playbook to life is that you find interesting things and fun things throughout your life to keep yourself entertained. And mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know, maybe that's the old school playbook that was taught to the other generations or different people.
Yeah.
But that's different for us. I feel like that's our generation especially, and the generations that came after Generation X, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more two-parent working in the household now.
Well, it's just more of a selfish idea of, hey, just because you're here, kid, doesn't mean
my life stops.
My life quits, and I'm going to go 9 to 5, grind myself into oblivion just to support you and your adventures, and
right.
if they might be any adventures, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I, you know, which I shouldn't, and I don't think anybody should, but I always have fear of what other people think of me, too. And, you know, so I wonder if they look at us like, oh, well, you have grandparents that babysit all the time, or you work all the time. When do you spend time with your kids? And trust me, we do, you know, but I try to not let that fear of what other people think get in my way, but sometimes it creeps in there.
Yeah, I sense that. I mean, I also get that. I mean, I try as hard as I can.
I don't think you think other people or care about what other people think.
Not as much as you do.
Yeah.
But I feel like I lack such confidence because I don't have the money to expand on my ideas. You know, I don't have that, you know, when I used to work and get that steady paycheck for X amount of dollars every week and whatnot, I would just be, you know, more free and fun-loving. And
yeah.
Now I feel like there's stress and anxiety in my life that I just can't seem to control. Mm-hmm. Hence the giant fat lip that I have now because it's a stress blister or whatever the fuck it is. But it's just a different game. It's a different part of life. I feel like there's still more coming to me than that there is now. I feel like the season that I went through in my life, I kind of gotten off topic here, but the season I've gone through with my life is like, it was meant to show me something. It was meant to see what the bottom looked like, you know? So I feel like there's more out there yet. There's more that's going to be had. And the quote I was looking for was the Teddy Roosevelt quote of the man in the arena. Mm. I think that's the most impressive quote, I think, that embodies the both of us, and that goes right along with the way that we're thinking. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever heard it, ever read it.
I feel like I've heard the man in the arena, but I can't think of what the quote is right now.
Okay, well, it pretty much embodies the fear of fearing what everybody else thinks. We're the ones out there getting dirty and going through the steps and failing and failing and failing again. Mm-hmm. And you know, we just keep getting up, keep doing it. So I'll just read you the quote.
Okay.
It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred with dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself into a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. And they posterize that shit and they put it up on walls. I don't have it up my wall yet, but it's us. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not bragging on it. I'm not pushing anybody down. I'm not talking anybody down. I'm just saying that's us. That's where we've been at for a number of years now.
Yeah. We're out there. We're hitting the pavement every day, working our asses off, coming up with new ways to make money. You know, getting shit thrown at us and getting knocked down, but we keep getting back up
That's all you can do.
Right.
You got two options. You can just say, oh, God, this is too hard. Forget this. I'm going to crawl right back to my little safe zone.
Yeah.
And just kind of hide out here where it's comfortable, and I'm making X amount of dollars. I'll make this work.
Which, as somebody that is very fond of the comfort zone, it's challenging to live this life every day.
It is.
You know, it makes you grow a lot as a person. I have fears every day in my job that I'm going to piss off a customer, or I'm going to make something that they don't like, or they're not going to be, you know, happy with what I provide. Lots of things.
Yeah.
So, but getting past that, not caring what other people think it's hard when you work with the people and you need those people to pay your bills.
Yeah. And that's something I've felt for the longest time. I thought I'd get away with it and get away from it.
Yeah.
I think there's a false belief that if you're an entrepreneur, you're striving out to own your own business and things like that. But the whole dream and what they're selling you on isn't the same idea that you're actually thinking. You're thinking that you're going to go out there and you're striving and make your own business, and you're going to get hundreds of thousands of dollars to come in. But really, in actuality, unless you're doing something that's creating passive income, something that is just coming in, an income stream that's coming in without you having to do much of anything, then it's pretty much you laying out more hours than you worked before in your 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. So you're basically trading your time for money.
And it's probably less money.
because you're buying your products, you're marketing, you're doing all the other stuff that...
Yeah, I mean, I would say we're entrepreneurs because we're trying to, you know, we've started our own businesses, but we're really just self-employed right now.
Yeah.
Until we can actually scale our businesses to where we have people working for us that are doing the majority of the work, we won't actually be entrepreneurs, I don't think.
No, you won't get that feeling.
Yeah.
Feeling that we made it. Look at all the money that's rolling in. I don't have to do as much work.
Yeah.
I have to be very on top and very on point of what I'm doing to make sure everything fires just right so I can make that money, but I don't have to be there in an office or in a setting or walking around my team.
Or just available 24/7.
Right.
You know, would be nice. I wouldn't know how to act. It would probably take me a long time to figure that out, how to not be available.
Yeah.
All the time.
So yeah, you touched on a couple of fears there. I think the biggest one a lot of people share is, what will other people think of me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's huge.
I think we had that fear when we started the podcast. Well, what are people going to say? We didn't even tell anybody for a few months.
No. It's weird to think that I don't really care what other people say. But in a sense, you have to. You want them to listen.
Right.
But we're just going to pump out material that's, you know, pertinent to us. I mean, it's kind of like our own little diary.
Yeah.
But, you know, we want people to like it. I mean, other people liking it, listening to it, sharing it with their friends, et cetera, will eventually put money in our pockets. So
there's
that side of it. But the topics that we discuss aren't going to be pandering towards certain people or demographics or men or women or...
No, but I feel like our first year that we did it, we were very safe because we were afraid we'd piss people off.
Yeah, we didn't talk about politics, religion, what else? What were the only other? I think those were the only two.
Those were the two off limits for us. And just because we kind of got a lot of hate from people because of our views. But, yeah, it's... Fear can be paralyzing. It can stop you from doing things that you should do.
It'll make you or think that you need to procrastinate.
Oh, that's my big... Yeah, that's why I procrastinate.
Yeah, I mean, that's what fear does. It's like, there's one side of your brain that's telling you, this is it. This is your future. You can go. And then there's the other fucking side of your head that's just... I don't even know why it's there.
Mm-mm.
It's not protecting anything. There's no Baser instinct there saying... Don't touch that. It's hot. It's just your imagination just fucking running wild.
Oh, you're going to suck at this?
Yeah. Why is that even there?
I don't know.
That does not need to be there. And it's so aggravating. you could wake up and do everything that you wanted to accomplish that day and feel the highest, most positive you could feel. And at some point, this little voice in the back of your head is just going to go, you know, you could have done that better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you didn't get done today? You didn't put gas in the car. Don't tell me you didn't have time for that.
Still piling up.
Yeah, you still have this over here to do. You're not that great. I mean, what? Why? Why is that there?
I have no idea. I mean, we're obviously all our own worst critic, our own worst enemy. I don't know how to get that voice to shut up, because obviously for me it's there all the time. That's where all my anxiety comes from.
Yeah. I mean, it all comes down to discipline. It all comes down to, okay, here's your goal. All right, how are you going to achieve that goal? Or what's your mission? What are you trying to get done? And as long as you're taking your baby steps and you're feeling like you're accomplishing things, I think Tony Robbins said, and I think that it's all come down to small little accomplishments, small little achievements. As long as you feel like you're winning, mm-hmm. Yeah, I did this today. Yeah, I did this today. And it's all how you look at it, too. I mean, like you said the other day, you've had a session with somebody, or you're talking with somebody that told you that, well, why don't you feel great about your day? Because I didn't get everything done. Well, if you look at your list, could you have gotten everything done? Your answer was no.
Yeah, no way in hell. I just like to put stuff on my list because I feel really good when I check it off. But sometimes I just think I'm superwoman and, like, sure, I can get all this done today, until 900 million messages come in, and then that there goes 2 hours of my day just replying to messages.
Right.
No, I mean, we can touch on that. One of our previous guests was a therapist mostly for anxiety, right?
Well, she was a family therapist, but she covered a lot of different things.
I think we talked mostly about anxiety when she was on, but I have recently started seeing her. Something I've wanted to do for a while, and so far I found it very beneficial. I wish I would have done it sooner. You know, it's one of those things, you kind of kick yourself, like, this would have been helpful before I was in my 40s.
Yeah.
But, you know, anytime that you can actually start something like that, I think is good for you, good for your mind, and it is helping me figure out a lot of stuff. And I don't know if this is off topic or not, but I just really liked the idea that she had. We talked about my old job and how much stress and anxiety it created in me. And I mean, that job, I had a lot of fear. But she said, okay, so you felt like that. And how did you do at that job? Were you good at that job? I said, yeah, I was really good at that job. And she said, so your body equates doing really well and being successful to being stressed and fearful and full of anxiety. Your body doesn't know that it doesn't have to be like that. Your body just says, oh, well, you were really successful and good at what you were doing, but this is how you felt. So now, even though you're not in that job anymore, your body thinks that you still have to be in that state all the time.
It's how you function now.
It is how I function. Mm-hmm. If I'm not stressed out to the max, riddled with anxiety, and basically a hot mess, then I feel like I'm not doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this January to March is kind of our slower season, especially on the wedding side of things, and it can really make you feel like a failure because you don't have a lot going on. And I can use this time to, you know, get inventory looking better. I can organize things, but it's such a slower pace that I don't know how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm just sucking right now because I don't have enough going on.
Right.
If I can actually sit and take an hour for lunch in a day, I'm like, oh my God, I am just a lazy piece of shit. Like, why do I think that way?
Because you're conditioned to do it.
I
just talked about it.
I know.
I think a lot of it has to do with our schooling. I've talked about that before. I mean, when I got out of high school, it was, depending on the type of job I had at that moment, it was usually just a half hour lunch.
Mm.
And that's kind of what we got in high school. Bell rang, you did this. Bell rang, you did that. Lunch break, half hour, 45 minutes, then you're back here doing the bell ringing thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's factory life. So you're conditioned to think that you're not supposed to take any more than a half hour. But it's like, no, that's life. That's living. That's relaxing. That's letting your body digest the food that you just ate.
Right.
In your case, inhaled. But yeah, there's it's going to take a while to get that mindset down, but I don't think we'll get there until the financials start reaping,
you know,
coming in a little better. Then you feel like your cushion is a little harder, a little more puffy.
Right.
You know, so right now, as we talked about in the previous episode of running and gunning, and that's where we're at right now. That's what life we've chosen. But you know, when we don't give ourselves enough credit when we do something good in our day. One, because it's just not who we are. We're still pressing on. We're still trying to go on to the next task. We don't give ourselves, we're not, if we are humble, that's right. Because we're.
I would say we're humble.
Well, we are, but I'm just saying we're not going to sit around and pat ourselves on the back and gloat.
No.
About whatnot. So I can't remember where I was even going with that thought. But yeah, so that's the life we've chosen, but it's going to be a strange transition. Like I said, you won't feel that way until you feel you're comfortable. And I think meeting with, you know, the person you've been meeting with is mm-hmm. going to be detrimental to your changing of your attitude.
Yeah.
Because like she just touched on, it's that anxiety. You feel like you got to go 100 miles an hour and I've told a couple different people, I said, I don't think if we had $1 million or $5 million or $20 million in the bank account, that would change the way that Lainey does things every day.
Probably not. I mean, not unless I make a conscious effort to practice it every day. I mean, it's going back to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because, if I sit there for lunch, I'm like, oh my God, I could be doing something else. I'm afraid I missed something. I'm afraid that I forgot to do something. And it's like, so what? You forgot. Shit happens.
Yeah.
It'll be there tomorrow for you. I think I have improved. I think I'm getting better than I was. There's a lot of room still to improve.
Yeah.
But I think I'm in the right... I'm moving in the right direction.
I think you are. I think you've given a less shit about either clients lipping off or being rude or whatever it might be. I think that always gave you the most stress.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh my God, I gotta please them. I gotta please them no matter what. Okay, I'll lower my price. I'll do whatever you want. You know, that type of thing. I definitely think you've bulldozed over that, and I think you've moved into a different realm there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all coming back to fear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's staying on topic with the show. Well, one of mine, I think most of mine are about money, so it might just get a little redundant here, but, I got that I will not make the money that I dream of to provide some material toys to some people that mean the world to me and take them on such adventures to show them how much they mean to me. So that's like a goal of mine is like, mm-hmm. I want to get to the point financially in life where I can say, hey, you mean the world to me. Here's either a bunch of cash or here's a toy. Let's go all go play together. Let's, you know, take these side by sides or, you know, whatever it might be. Yeah. Or let's take this vacation on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to pay anything. You've already done your work. You've already been there for me. You've already expressed your love to me or made me laugh when I was down or whatever the situation might be, but I'm just afraid I won't make it to that point where I can't give back to those people and express to them how much they mean to me and how much they brought me along.
Yeah.
And how much I appreciated their friendship or their family or whatever. That's one of my fears is that, and it's kind of like way in the back type of fear, but it's something that's always on the wheel. It's always a cog on the wheel, just going around and around like that little voice back of your head. You're not going to be able to do it. You can't do it. Stupid notion you got, not going to be able to happen.
Yeah, if anybody knows a way to shut that person up, that'd be great. Is there a pill we could take to get rid of them?
I don't think so. I did learn out a little something about caffeine this last week, is that you want to take it later in the morning or even early afternoon. You don't get up and drink a coffee in the morning, because that's when you're, I think it might be serotonin is already high, or you know, your energy levels are already there. You don't need it to get you going. But I think
a lot of people would disagree with you.
I know. But biologically, those are the chemical receptors, because it shuts down the, inhibits the receptors of feeling tired. Mm. So, but if you're 3, 4 or more coffee drinker a day, I mean, you're obviously relying on it.
Right.
So I'm not going to convince you to not wake up and grab your normal cup of Joe every morning.
I think it's funny whenever I'm out with somebody and I order coffee, and I always order decaf because I can't do caffeine. Decaf? Why do you even drink coffee if you're going to have decaf? Yeah. Like, well, I drink it because I like the flavor.
But just a little side note.
So what about, like, do you fear death?
No.
I don't either. Not that, I mean, I don't want to say it's because I feel like I'm invincible, but... And, I mean, we've known a lot of people to die extremely young, but I'm afraid that I'll die before my life is completely fulfilled.
Yep. That's the fear of regret.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that goes strongly tied in with my stuff.
Yeah.
Is that I'm going to reach the point where I run out of gas and I don't want to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And the golden years are bullshit. You don't buy into that anymore. But
no.
You get all your energy and your fun and your living done when you're young, when you're able to do it. But yeah, getting to the end of the road and be like, oh, God, you know, I should have done this. I should have pursued that. I should have said this to this person. I should have said this to that person.
Yeah.
That's the fear of regret. That's a big one. I think that weighs on a lot of people's minds more often than they like to admit it.
Oh, sure. And I think it might not cross your mind all the time until, like, you're faced with your own mortality.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you get back to the fear of death. I fear more the process of death than I do actually dying.
Yeah. Like, are you going to, you know, have some horrible disease that draws it out and...
Yeah. A cancer or a dementia or Alzheimer's, where it's just like your body's there but your mind isn't, or you're laying in bed and your body's failed you and your mind is fully attuned
to
everything, where you just can't move. It's
your burden on your family and
right.
All of that.
That's my fear, is that that ties in with when I get older, I don't want to be removed from my house. Like, I see that so often.
What do you mean? I'm putting you in a home if I have to.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
you don't want that.
No, I'd rather live in the place that I'm most comfortable with. And if that's, at that point, if it's a home, I'm like, oh, good, 3 square meals a day, some people to play checkers with, fantastic. But, you know, you build your whole life around a building, a structure, you're mowing that lawn, you're painting everything, you're building all that stuff.
Yeah.
And... it's like, well, the first thing we have to do is got to take you out of that house. Got to take you out of the place of your comfort. And it's just, I don't know, it's very bothersome to me that when we take our elderly, instead of bringing them the help that they need, and there again, all comes back to money.
Right.
Have you got the money to do that? Instead of taking them and leaving them in their comfortable situation where they know everything, where everything is, it's like we just take them completely out of their element. We take them away from their things, take them away from their pictures and their smell and everything that they're comfortable with. And we put them in this little box because they're unmanageable, quote unquote. So, you know, there again, it costs a lot of money to have somebody come in, take care of them, prepare their meals, get them bathed and all that good stuff.
Well, either way, a nursing home or an assisted living is ungodly expensive too. So. Right.
But my fear is I don't want to be removed from something that I'm comfortable with, and I know
how many. I feel like you should have shared that with me.
Did you already sign the papers, did you?
I mean, I've got one planned for 10 years from now.
Yeah, 10 years?
We're moving into an assisted living.
We? I feel like you're ditching me and moving me out there. But that kind of ties into one of my fears, and one of my biggest fears is that one day I'll lose the ability to run, to jump, to lift weights, punch, kick, essentially be strong and capable, handleable, useful. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's strongly tied to my identity. I like being a universal person. I like to be able to reach the tall thing or pick up the heavy object or do multiple things. I'm just like, I like to be useful.
Yeah. No, I want to be that 103-year-old friend of my grandma's that would go to Loma Linda's and have a margarita on her birthday.
Yeah.
Even at 103. Like, if I'm going to live to be that old, I want to be functioning. I want to have a social life. I want to still be good. I mean, obviously, I'm sure that woman couldn't run a marathon, but I can't either. So, but yeah, I don't want to be the old couple that just sits in our home and we don't do anything all day.
Right.
You know, we wake up at 6 because that's what we do, and we have our boring little routine that we do every day, and I don't want that.
No, and not like we've got to rent or buy Harleys and...
I mean...
Yeah, right. You can ride a bike.
I didn't say I would drive the Harley. I can ride on the back.
No, it doesn't have to be like fun frills until you die. I mean, I'm just talking like I just don't want my body to fail me or my mind to fail me, but it's inevitable. I mean, that's why you got to live each day the best you can. It's a double-edged sword. It's like you're trying to live the most out of your life, and at the end of each day, you're just exhausted. And then the start of the next day, you're just exhausted because all the best living you did was yesterday.
Right.
I got to try to repeat that.
Well, and you want to live your best life, but you also want to be responsible.
Yeah, that's the tough thing.
Like, yeah, let's book the trip and take it, but I don't really know how we're going to pay for groceries next week, but
yeah, right.
We're going to have fun.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Oh, and we don't do that.
No.
It'd be fun to do that, and we know a lot of people that probably do that. Yeah, they live paycheck to paycheck, and it's like we're just trying to get out of that. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't want to be old and feeble, but it's going to happen. That's just a fear of mine. I fear that more than I do dying. Mm. It's like, okay, if I get hit by a truck tomorrow, am I going to know it?
No. Yeah, I fear, like, Alzheimer's or dementia.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary stuff.
Let's say I've got just the stage of being incapable. And I don't know, I don't want to be that person that... I guess we already talked about it, living with regret. I don't want to get to the end and getting close to the end where I'm no longer able to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like at that point, you better have enough money to where you can pay people to do what it is you were meant to do the rest of your days, you know?
Right.
But yeah, that's a big fear of mine.
Do you have any other heavy ones?
Heavy?
Well, yeah, I feel like it's kind of gloom and doom right now.
What do you mean by heavy, then?
Gloom and doom. We're talking about death and dying and...
Yeah. I don't know what you're asking me.
I'm just asking, are the other ones on your list heavy?
Are you Michael J. Fox right now? Back to the Future? I'm not just... That's heavy, Doc. That's heavy. I don't know what you mean.
Are the rest on your list, are they sad?
Sad? I don't know. Usually when you're talking fears, you're not joyous, you know?
No, but...
No, a lot of mine are tied into running and... Or not running, but being physically active. Mm. I feel like I can get to a point in my life where I can actually sit down and enjoy video games.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, see, that's the response I get. But at some point, I'm not going to be the guy that you call for every little thing that you need done. And it's like, I don't have any gas left. I'm tired. But that's a fear of mine, is that will be useless. Semi-useless. I can just stand up. I can move over to that chair and sit down. And I can stand up from that chair, move over to the next one and sit down. But yeah, this is why I kind of wanted you to get some other talking points. If you're asking me if I've got any other ones, I mean, most of mine are tied to cash. Having the money to give back to people and have a good time with it and not just sit on it and die with it.
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
That's never been a fear of mine, is that I won't have enough to send off to my kids when I'm dead.
Yeah, that's up to them.
Yeah. So you live your own life.
I mean, if we have enough to give them, then that's great, but yeah. That's not going to be our life goal. I would rather enjoy it with them while they're here, while we're here with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Making memories with them and exuding all that energy and spending time with them. And
yeah.
Versus buying them things and all that. So. But I feel like we've kind of run the end of our course here.
Do you have any other weird fears? I know you said you didn't want to be topical, but we could end on just your weird fears. Like, you're not afraid of spiders. What are you afraid of?
I used to think it would be, I didn't like to be in a confined place. I don't think a lot of people would like to be in a box or even sitting too close to somebody in an airplane or something like that.
I get uncomfortable in an elevator there's too many people.
But just putting yourself into those situations or even just thinking, well, this can't last forever. But if you're given the option of, guess what, you don't know when you're getting out of this, then it's a different story.
Yeah.
But, yeah, being in those confined spaces, I mean, there's a fear of being buried alive. Who the hell is going to get buried alive?
you never know.
Unless you make yourself down to Mexico and make yourself available to the cartel.
Say we do like Mexico, and you do like finding random ways to make money. So, just saying, it could happen.
Could happen. I'd end up in a hole in the ground, buried underneath dirt.
Oh God, that'd be awful.
But no weird fears. No, I don't. No. Can't say that there's anything out there that really frightens me. I really don't like centipedes. Those million-legged, hairy things that were all around. In your house, you catch them every once in a while.
Yeah, no, I know what they are. They're gross. Yeah. I don't like having to get up in front of a group of people and talk.
Not one of my fears.
Not one of your fears?
No.
No, you don't care.
I don't care because everybody is just a person. It's not like you're different from them and they're different from you. Yeah, they might excel a little better when they get up there and talk, but it's like, you know, this is what I was given to do. This is what I'm given to talk about. I just hope you're entertained by it. If you're not, that's up to you. But this is what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
Versus getting up there and being like, oh my God, all these people are staring at me. I never got that fear.
Never? Not even like when you were in school?
I mean, there was always that, like that excitement. Like, here we go. Here we go. Got to get yourself psyched up for it. It wasn't like, oh, this is extremely pleasant to do. I mean, I'm not saying that it was all fun and games when I did it, but it was just like, all right, I'll go first. Get this shit over with.
I mean, I get like full body shakes when I have to stand up and talk in front of a group.
But when you do it and you're done and you didn't die, right?
Right. Definitely feel better. But yeah, I don't know why that is. I think they say that's like the number one fear, public speaking.
I'm trying to think of the other ones that are.
And again, it's because we're afraid of what people think of us.
Right. Fear of being judged. Judged unfavorably.
Why do we care what people think?
Because we all deep down seek approval. We all want to be a part of something. But when you try to be a part of everything, you kind of lose yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if you're out here trying to impress Johnny over here, but that's going to piss Kevin over here off, and you got to go impress Kevin, and then it's just a series of ping pong back and forth trying to impress everybody. It'll just wear you out, and it'll take you away from who you actually are and what your actual life mission is.
Yeah.
So if you walk with an air of I don't give a fuck about you, life is so much sweeter. I feel like I'm almost there again. Just gotta get the finances there. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's so much fun if you can ever live that life of I don't give a shit. It's a good place to be. It's a good place.
When did you live that life? When did you feel like that most?
Most? I felt like that ever since I was probably as far back as I could think, probably fourth grade, maybe now third grade. I remember one of my teachers was saying that I mumbled. Shocking.
Shocking.
She said that I mumbled, and I'm sitting next to one of my friends, and I'm like, I don't freaking mumble. You just can't really listen to what I'm saying. She's like, see, you're doing it again. I'm like, I'm not mumbling. You're just not hearing what I'm saying. She's like, you're still doing it. It's just like, I was trying to make my buddy laugh. I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Even like that awkward junior high.
I had braces and glasses. Yeah, that never died. It never died my personality. I guess it's something you're born with. But, yeah, it's always been there. And then just recently, because I feel like with positions I've had to take and work and lack of money and stress and anxiety, and I mean, that's all just fear. Mm-hmm. It's all going to work out, but it's just not working out at the pace you want it to. But that's kind of driven me down into a little hole. So, yeah, anyway, not to lay that on all you, but.
So, yeah. I mean, I think everybody has similar fears to what we have, don't you? Mm-hmm. I would say they're pretty.
If you're a human, you've got pretty similar to those.
Yeah. So it's just learning how to be aware of them and do what you can to make them not always come to the surface.
I'll say the best way to do it is to run face first into them. You know, if you fear frogs, guess what you got to do? You got to start walking around that pond. You see one jump in and you jump back. Did it get you? No. You know, start walking around the pond again. Then you see a little closer, a little closer, a little closer. Soon you're holding on to a frog saying, what the fuck was I so upset about this thing for? That goes with everything.
That was a cute little anecdote.
It applies to everything. Whatever you're afraid of, do it. Unless you're physically unable to.
So you're saying I gotta do my taxes?
Everybody's gotta do their stupid taxes.
I've literally been procrastinating because I'm just afraid to do them because I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Maybe you have to ask for help.
That's no fun. Who likes to do that?
Not you. Ever.
No. Also afraid to ask for help.
So is that a block or is that a fear? What does that fear come from? That people are going to think you stupid?
Think me stupid?
Yep.
Yeah, I think asking for help somehow in my effed up brain means that I'm a failure.
But everything you've read and what everyone else has told you is to go ahead and ask for help.
I know.
Right?
Yeah. It's just that little piece of my brain that says, you can do it yourself. You don't need to ask anybody. You can figure it out.
And that's like what I try to tell the kids is you need to do something every day that scares you.
Yeah. And
that so applies to adults. It's like you're not living. You're not experiencing things. I mean, fear and anxiety are there to protect you to a certain point. Otherwise, you're just letting your mind run wild and your mind just starts controlling you. But it takes you completely out of the game and you're not living life. I mean, oh my God, it scares me to run up a hill because I'm afraid I'm going to trip and fall and I'll roll back down. All right, we'll take 5 steps up the hill and then come back down. Just like you just got to take baby steps and you just have to do it. But if you don't do it, you're just going to sit back and be so afraid that your head would just go 1,000 miles an hour. Like, and you could have just gone, walked straight into that fear.
Well, that was like the, I can remember doing the warrior dash back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I was scared to do that. And I don't know if it was you talked me into it or said, well, we'll train, we'll practice. And we did, you know, we took mm-hmm. little baby steps, and then we got there, and it was a whole nother ball game.
It was a bigger hill.
Yeah. It's a big ass hill, straight up. But the sense of accomplishment I felt after I finished that was like nothing else. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I could have sat on the sidelines, which I did a lot of my life. I sat on the sidelines because I was afraid to look stupid or afraid that I couldn't do it. So that's why I didn't play many sports.
Yeah.
Why I did what I did. But it's like, yeah, just fucking do it. That person that you're afraid what they think of you, they're probably just as afraid of what you think of them.
Yeah, they are.
Which is so dumb.
And the ones that bark at you are the worst. They're the ones that are so afraid.
Insecure.
Yeah, insecure, afraid. So that's why they're lashing out at you, because they're projecting and trying to get you to get excited just so you can stay the hell away from them. It's kind of like the people that wear the bright colored hair. It's like, I'm really obese, or I'm really scared, or whatever they're trying to get you to not see in them.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving you a distraction by the color of their hair.
Yeah.
Just a small little population example there. I'm not picking on anybody.
But
examples of that. It's like the bully in school. He's picking on you because either somebody picked on him, or he's projecting his fears onto you. I don't want anyone to pick on me, so I'm going to be the one that picks on everybody else.
Right.
So yeah, fear comes in many forms. It's just a matter of punching fear in the face. There is a book entitled that, by the way, by John Acuff. But,
is there?
Mm-hmm. But basically, it all comes down to that. Every positive book you read, or aspiring book you read, it's the people that said, you know what, I just got to do it, and just stepped into it and did it. And just like you climbing that hill in the Warrior Dash, you're so afraid of it. But when you got done with it, you're like, fuck, that was awesome. And it was so awesome because that's what life is about. That's what,
yeah.
You got to get those little wins, and you got to step into the arena. Got to take the chances, and when you do and you accomplish it, it's like, oh, such a weight lifted off your shoulders. It's such a good feeling.
It is. There's another good book too about kind of overcoming fear, is that 5-second rule from Mel Robbins.
Yeah. It really works.
It's so dumb, but it works. Like, I used it a lot of times when I was in my sales job, because I hated cold calling. Ugh. Just, I was always afraid to walk into a new place where I didn't know anybody, and I would do that 5-4-3-2-1 and just open the car door and get out. And you're already out. You gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
I think she used it just to get out of bed in the morning, because she was so depressed. And she would just 5-4-3-2-1 and just get up, get out.
Nope. Yep.
So, yeah, you just have to face it. We face it every day. We're not unafraid, but
oh, it sucks.
We're still.
I'll tell you right now, it sucks. I just did a house where I had to paint the trim, and it's probably a close to 3,000 square foot house. Pretty big. And they wanted me to paint the trim and the doors all around the entire first floor, and then they wanted me to paint the doors. So I walk, I mean, the whole time I'm thinking, okay, what's the, because I always like to plan out my routes. How am I going to get this done fastest? And what am I going to do first? And what do I need? And blah, blah, blah. So I'm prepared. But the stress just started to build, and the anxiety started to build just looking at this giant place. But you just start going at it.
Mm-hmm.
You step into it. You start working at it. It's like everything. I mean, I still get worked up and anxious about my workouts. But it's
you
me.
Do?
Yeah, it's me that's putting the pain to myself. I don't have to do this hard workout, but I choose to because I know what I feel like when I'm done.
Right.
And by doing hard workouts, for me, doing these hard workouts, it's like everything else seems so minuscule.
If you can survive that.
If I can survive myself, putting myself through this bullshit that I'm going to go through, when I get done, it's just like, huh. Well, what am I so worried about? It's like that. It's like all that anxiety you get from sitting and thinking and thinking and thinking. It's like if you actually step out, apply some physical pressure to yourself, accomplish something where you're completely burning out those feelings and not thinking about them while you're performing the act. That's why I think exercise is so important for everybody to do.
It is.
It
See why I don't like to be alone with my thoughts? Because that's when I get all built up and get all anxious.
Right.
Because I just talk myself right into big, massive failure.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, I wanted you to get involved with exercise so long ago. It's like it centers your focus. As long as you're trying to survive that physical task, you're not thinking about all the other bullshit that got y'all worked up before.
No.
And when I trained people, that's the way it was. It was like, I want this to be the hardest thing you do all day.
Yeah, you suck in that aspect.
But if that's all you thought about was trying to survive my workouts, then...
And not punch you in the face.
Yeah. I got to be nimble. So, yeah. So if you don't do anything physical, I think you're going to be a stressed out ball of anxiety.
Yeah.
But if you don't find little methods and ways of trying to get physical exertion...
And it doesn't even have to be a crazy ass workout like you do. I mean, no. Go for a walk and put your earbuds in and listen to something that can take your mind off things. Mm-hmm. Just you need to have that time for you.
Right. And if you're just going to walk, you should probably do it outside. I mean, they say being connected to the ground and the earth and all that stuff
is vitamin D.
Best for you. You're getting sunlight, whether it's cloudy or not. So the reason why these things are recommended over and over and over and over again, I think there's a lot of people that could probably benefit from the strenuous stuff that I do, mm-hmm. but there's still a lot of people that benefit just from getting out and moving your body. Your body's meant to move. We have strayed so far off topic, but I feel like it's all circling back.
Well, it is. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking even about the gym, how much I used to fear the gym because I was afraid I would look dumb. Like, yes, I'm married to a personal trainer, but I don't know how to ask for help, so I never asked him what I should do when I'm there. So I would go and hide in the furthest room away from everybody and do some workouts in there. Now I'm like, I mean, I probably look stupid doing some things, but who cares? That guy over there sure looks stupid doing some stuff too, so right. We can look stupid together, you know?
And he doesn't seem to give two shits about
no.
incorrect form and exercise. I don't even know what you're doing over there. But you seem fully engulfed in it, so.
Yeah. But. So, yeah. It's everything does kind of just circle back to fear. And if we can all get out of our head and just freaking do the things we want to do, we would all be a lot happier.
I say, do the things you want to do, fine. But it's the things you don't want to do that are keeping you locked in your fear mindset. It's like, well, I always wanted to be able to dance better. I always wanted to ballroom dance with my wife. But I got two left feet. I'm not going to even try that. But here you are at 57 years old still thinking about it.
Right.
When all these years you could have just gone to a class and learned how to put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
And just think how much more accomplished you feel. From doing just baby steps.
I mean, I always wanted to be a good singer. You think I could go take singing lessons?
Yeah, you could.
I don't think it would help me.
They would find a tone in there that you'd adopt.
Oh.
It's just amazing how fear encapsulates. What's the word here? Encapsulates.
Encapsulate? No.
Capsule.
If we had a blooper reel, that would be encapsulates?
Yeah.
Encapsulates. Sounds really funny.
I have to cut this out. It's pretty embarrassing. But yeah, fear just like puts you into this little bubble. And then as you think that's where you belong. Because your fucking stupid brain is up there saying, you can't do it. You can't do it. Why do you think you can do that? Why do you think you, of all people, are able to do that? You've never mowed the lawn before. You're not going to be able to mow the lawn. There's millions of people that mow lawns. Oh, well. Okay, then. Well, you can't butter your own toast. I've never seen you butter your own toast. You can't do it. Millions of people have done that, too.
That would be our son.
Yeah, so...
Can't scoop my own ice cream.
Yeah. Choices.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully we've touched on a couple of your fears. I'm sure there's many out there that we haven't touched on. I mean, there's a lot of psychosis out there that we would find just amazingly weird. But
those are people's fear. Yeah, if you have like a really weird fear, you just send us a message at allthethingswithlaneandlaney@gmail.com.
Love to know just a strange, strange fear. Yeah.
Can be totally anonymous. We're not going to tell anybody. I mean, we're going to tell anybody your name. But, yeah, it could be something we could talk about at a later date.
It just gave me an idea for a podcast. What if we went through the Encyclopedia of Psychology, if there is one, and looked at all the sources?
Oh.
And said, okay, what do you think this one is? It's fear of eggs. It's eggsosis or whatever the hell it might be.
Yeah, there's weird ones. That show we watched, that lady was afraid of rain.
Yeah. Yep, so there's got to be a fear for everything out there. Fear of air, you know. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we don't have time to discuss all that right now.
No, but yeah, don't forget to find us on Instagram, Facebook, all the things with Lane and Lainey. And like I said, feel free to always send us a message with ideas or topics you'd like to discuss at allthethingswithlaneandlaney@gmail.com.
We thank you all for listening. It's kind of choppy a little bit there to get out some fearful ideas, but those are ours. Love to hear from you if you've got any. So
yeah, thanks for listening.